Okay, warriors, you are listening to Unqualified Therapists. Remember, stay wild and weird.
Hey, warriors, this is Amy.
And I'm Sarah. We started this podcast because mental health is complicated and the stigma surrounding it can make us feel alone.
So we are here to share authentic stories in order to normalize and prioritize mental health.
We believe in professional therapy. We both use it on our own healing journeys.
But we also know it isn't one size fits all. So we are here to provide tools from our own experiences,
as well as those from our guests and professionals that come on the show.
Thank you for being here as we navigate the complexities of mental health and mental illness together.
Remember, hold on, warriors. We're gonna make it. Warrior.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Unqualified Therapist.
Hey, hey, girlfriends. That's what we're here to talk about tonight. Some girlfriends. And we've got a fun girlfriend on with us today.
Yeah.
Her name is Michelle Colella, and she is the city owner of the Beauty Boost Pittsburgh. This is something we have been told by probably
everybody.
Every woman guest that comes on our show is like, have you connected with Michelle from Beauty Boost yet? Like 100 times. So we are finally having this conversation, which we are so stoked about. Beauty Boost is a vibrant community for those who identify as women to become their most healthy, empowered, and beautiful selves. Through regular events and activities, there's anything from fitness sessions to empowerment and entrepreneur workshops. There's social gatherings. There's weekend retreat getaways. And these all create opportunities for personal growth, genuine connection, and a good time.
Oh, good time.
Yes. And we're all looking for that genuine connection. And we've had conversations on here before where we're like, how do you make friends as an adult?
Yeah. And the circle just grows tinier and tinier the older you get because you can't withstand bullshit.
Right.
You're exactly. Like, I just don't have the space. Yes. And so then you just are like, oh, it's just me now.
I'm
just kidding. But, you know, it feels that way sometimes. And so sometimes you do need to open it back up and make new friends.
Right, exactly. And this is super cool. Their event attendee base is over 1,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Yes, the Beauty Boost is reshaping how women in Pittsburgh connect. So, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on with us and having this very important conversation. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very flattered. I can't believe people have been talking about me. Very honored to hear that. I'm just really excited to chat with you
both. Yeah, we're so excited to have you on with us as well. So tell us all about yourself and how Beauty Boost came about in Pittsburgh.
How far back would you
as far back as you want. We can open all the doors if you want.
Okay. I'll start with kind of how I found the Beauty Boost because it's really kind of shaped my journey. And it kind of explains how the Beauty Boost started as well. So we all go through those phases in our life, especially as women, where we hit the college age and we have that group of friends. We're post-college. We're in a city. People start moving. People's lives start changing. People get married, have children. People are still weekend warriors. You know, everybody's kind of doing their thing. And I feel like at some point we all kind of wake up and we look around at our friend group and our life. And we're like, what are we doing? What happened? Where did everyone go? Where am I going? And I hit one of those points. It kind of is at a point where a bunch of stuff in my life all changed. Relationship, I moved, I had switched from being a fitness competitor to wanting to be a more healthy, balanced human being. And I just wanted to meet people that I had things in common with that maybe were interested in starting a business because I was looking at, you know, maybe leaving corporate America and doing my own thing. So I didn't have anyone really around me like that other than a mentor that lived about an hour away. And I thought, okay, it's time for me to kind of like put my big girl pants on and get out there and try to meet some new people. And of course, I didn't know what to do. I'd been hanging out with the same people for, I don't know, the past like 10 years. So I get on Facebook and I'm searching for just events or things. And I find this workout and coffee meetup by some company called the Beauty Boost. And I thought, I love to work out and I really love coffee and I'm going to go. So I was like, I'll go by myself. The worst thing that can happen is no one will talk to me. No one will like me. And the best thing that can happen is, you know, I'll make a new friend and I still get to drink a cup of coffee. I'm good. So I went. There was maybe half a dozen girls. It was just a small meetup. And the workout was great. Loved it. We went over to the coffee shop and we stood in there for hours and just had conversations about life and goals and hobbies and passions and dreams and all these different things. And it was women of all ages, of all backgrounds. We were all just kind of just being frank about where we were and what we wanted. And I thought, these are the kind of people that I really need to be spending my time with. You know, everybody was maybe in a different place, but didn't seem to be giving advice or judging or doing any of those things. It just felt really good. Everyone was kind of listening and being encouraging and saying, oh, I can't wait to see you do that. Or that sounds really fun. So I was in, completely hooked. I joined Beauty Boost as a member. And then I just kind of continuously got more involved until the original city owner had a life change herself and needed to leave Beauty Boost. And at that point, I applied to take it over because I just couldn't see my life without it at that point. And I just wanted to kind of create the magic that had been created for me a couple years prior.
What year was that? Like the coffee and the meetup, the original?
Yeah, that was in 2019.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and then I took it over in July of 2021. So I've been running it since then.
Yeah. How has the pandemic affected the group? And have you guys been able to kind of push through?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, so Beauty Boost started in Pittsburgh in 2018 and then in Columbus about 10 years ago. So we were in Columbus and then Cleveland and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh for the first few years. Pandemic happened. I was a member and we pushed everything to virtual and we just started doing virtual events kind of organized by Columbus. We were founded out of Columbus. So started doing all these virtual events just every other week, and all these women were finding them on Eventbrite, jumping on, and we're just trying to make, you know, connections through Zoom like everyone else was doing. And then once we were able to kind of start meeting in person based on, you know, whatever guideline of our respective city, we started kind of easing our way back in and, you know, following the rules, of course, and, you know, easing our way back into in-person events. But, you know, obviously it was kind of a slow transition. And then even in 2021, when I took over, I would have women messaging me, you know, Instagram DMs or emails like, I'm really nervous to come. I forget how to talk to people. I don't think I can talk to strangers. How many people are coming? You know, I feel uncomfortable just being, you know, in an event. I haven't been around a group of people in, you know, 2 years. So it was definitely a different experience.
I'm thinking all of those things that you've gotten messages about, I have felt that same way. And I think, you know, I've been very lucky and blessed enough to go to these things with Amy most of the time and to have that, you know, safety net of somebody that you know.
Yeah.
But you jump right in, Amy, and go to a lot of these things by yourself.
I do. And I'm a full-on introvert, extrovert.
Which is so wild.
It's wild. I really like connection and I really like authentic people. And it's so... I think it's just such a powerful thing to meet new people. But inauthenticity is like my big like, okay, bye, I'm out. And so if it's an event like that, you know, I just can't do it. And that's part of the introvert in me. But I do. I love meeting new people who are like-minded just because it does help all of us grow, I think, as women from I don't know, from wherever we were. So what are some of your favorite types of events that you host or have in terms of the Beauty Boost? I'm not quite sure. I'm not super familiar. I know that there's fitness events, but I don't know how much it goes past that.
Yeah. Well, I guess I say all the events are my favorite.
Yeah. That's almost like saying what kid do you like best, right? Who's your favorite child?
I only have one dog, so I can like favorite child. Although sometimes when he's acting up, my my deer that are in front of my fireplace might be my favorite child. But yeah, at every event, when I kind of kick it off, I think I tell everyone this is my favorite event. But my true favorite are probably our panel events, because I love a theme and I get to theme. And we've had some really, really amazing panels diving into topics that maybe, you know, aren't so comfortable to talk about and sit and reflect on. I think one of our most powerful panels was a self-love panel. And we brought women together from, you know, different backgrounds, different industries to kind of talk about their self-love journey and what that looked like and what helped them. And we had about 75 women show up, and you think the word panel, it's going to be, you know, boring and stuffy, but no. you know, we just had the best time, and people were sharing real journeys, real emotions, you know, real things that they went through before and they were going through right in that moment. And, you know, you could just feel the energy in the room, people feeling, you know, supported and loved and seen, like, you know, somebody understood what they were going through or what they had gone through in the past and could make that connection.
That's what we love. I think that's, we love creating space for people. And I think that's probably what you love the most too, is creating space for people to feel seen. It's so, so important for us to see ourselves because there's just so we can get so lost in in every single day things that we do.
Absolutely. I mean, we're so caught up in, and I'm super guilty of it too. I work full time. I run a business. I have other things like in the works that I'm trying to start up as well. So I get caught up in that to-do list, which is probably a whole book long at this point. And you're just kind of going through the motions, checking off the list. And then you stop and you think like, wait, did I have any kind of meaningful kind of connection today? Did I talk to a stranger? What did I do? But yeah, we want to be, you know, out there having meaningful, you know, conversations and connections with people and not just kind of floating through lost in our own mind, lost in our own bubble.
Yeah, definitely. And for our listeners to know, Michelle has a background in counseling, has her graduate degree in that. And so she has experience with that. And so I just wanted to mention this because it's weird. I don't know if I'm an extrovert introvert. Like, does that exist? Is it the other way? Can you be the other way around?
I think you can be the other way around. I don't know.
I went from being very extroverted.
Straight up extrovert.
To like.
You need your alone time too.
Yes.
And you're quiet.
To being like, I need that isolation actually is like where I go, which is not always healthy, but if I am allowed to be in a space of isolation, I will stay there. And so I have to pull myself out and do these things. And the one thing that I read about it, because I was like, why do I need to make friends or have connections, you know? And one of the things that came up is that it helps to lower your risk of dementia because it like creates like new connections like in neural pathways in your brain. And I have this, that's like my biggest fear is to
lose myself.
That's
why I walk. I heard the same thing for that. This is why we do everything. We don't want to lose our brains.
Like I don't want to lose myself. Like I fear that a lot. And so I was like, all right, fine, I'll do them. You know, I'll do these things. But why do you personally love these types of connections and these types of events to connect with other women?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many reasons. We could definitely go clinical. We could talk about loneliness and depression. We can talk about loneliness and dementia, learning new things, neural pathways. I can get really geeky. But
I love the geeky.
But I think when it comes right down to it, it kind of goes back to what you were saying, Amy. You know, we all want to be seen. We all want to be connected to people, you know, in our community. We all want to have fun and be happy. I think sometimes we kind of forget that life is this temporary thing. We don't know how long we're going to be here. Like, we want to be happy, you know, and the happiness kind of ebbs and flows, and you have to create it for yourself and find it in the little things every day, the big things as well. But with those connections and that kind of like sense of community, you know, you're creating that for yourself. You're creating those little moments of happiness. You're seeing yourself and other people. You're supporting other people, which also makes you feel good about yourself. You know, doing things for others feels good. And I just think that, you know, we all need people around us that we feel like we can lean on when we need them. We all need that in each other, and those people to lean on and do those fun things with, because life is also about fun. It's not just work and chores and to-do lists. We are meant to have fun and enjoy.
The older we get, the older we realize it truly is about the fun. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I just want to have the most fun that I can amidst all the other things that I have to get done, and then try to like think maybe not that thing today. Let's have fun instead. So yeah, it is. It's all about that.
Yeah.
And finding new people to have fun with is an incredible thing.
I think there's a lot of value in being able to have fun alone and do things on your own. But then there's also value in having that community and having that support and having those people around you. So we need each other.
How do you take that day and all the people that you've met and maybe take a few people and move it into the friendship space? So you're taking it out of just this experience that you've had together and trying to, it's almost like dating. Like,
dude, yes.
Like taking it to the next level of, you know, of friendship. And I will say what I have found in those situations is it doesn't all stick. I would say 1 out of 5 do. And there has to be a mutual agreement to put that as a priority, because again, we don't have a lot of time. And so I don't know, maybe if you had some tips or some ideas, or if you've had experiences where you've seen people come from your events and then actually become like friends in real life.
Yes. And it makes me cry. it does. It makes like my heart like jump out of my chest. So the first thing I kind of tell people is, even at our events or even in your daily life, if you're just putting yourself out there to be more connected, more present, every interaction that you have with somebody doesn't need to turn into a best friend or a relationship or something like that. You can simply have a nice conversation with somebody at a coffee shop. I love coffee. Sorry.
Oh, no,
we can switch to breweries if you want. I also love those. but you can have just a really nice conversation with somebody, you know, at a coffee shop, out wherever. And then it can just be a nice conversation. And then you can have a connection with somebody in, you know, a larger way. Maybe you feel like you have something in common that's on a deeper level, or you really loved something that they said to you, or felt like you connected over something. And then just very simply, you can just say like, oh, hey, you know, from a business perspective, like, oh, do you have a card on you? Or if you are not a business owner and you say like, oh my gosh, would you love to grab a drink sometime, or dinner, or meet up at this boutique we were talking about that we both love shopping at, or something like that. And kind of take it from there. And then just know that it's not you. That other person may have other things going on. They may not have time. They may not be in the right headspace to, you know, make a new connection on a deeper level. And you can't take those things personally. Mm-hmm. You just have to throw it out there, mm-hmm. not be attached to the outcome, be excited if they say yes, and go from there. And if it's a no, that's okay. They're just not your person at this time.
At this time. That's so important. Like, right. That's so, so important. And that is something I've learned, is that, you know, it just depends. The timing isn't right for their life, for your life. And maybe around the bend another time, a couple months, half a year, something like that, you can actually hang out.
Yeah.
Oh, and I forgot, because I'm kind of old. You can also say like, oh, what's your Instagram? And you can follow each other on Instagram and be
Well, you get to know them more.
Yeah, because you can see what they post about their life, unless you're me, where you do more creeping than posting.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's all right. Creep away, girl. Creep away.
Creeping is...
It's more, I feel like I'm like, you know what? I'm catching up on my friends' lives. I'm figuring out what they're doing.
Well, it's also when you post so much for your work and then the podcast and then your other work that it's like, oh gosh.
My personal Instagram is like,
I can't think about that. Memes. That's what you do.
Yep. Because my Instagram now knows me and all my algorithm is like all funny, weird things.
I know enough that when I see that you've posted on your story, I'm like, what meme am I going to get now?
Yeah. It's still a look into my personal life, though, because look into inside of my brain.
It
which is.
It gives me a little bit of a heads up on where we're at.
Little insight. It's usually something funny, though.
Yeah. We've talked sometimes about like making a handbook for women on how to like make friends as an adult. And so we've talked about some of those ways, but you know, it's sometimes it does need to be like spelled out because it is just so, so hard. And I think that idea of putting yourself out there and being okay with it's not rejection. It's just not the match right now. And is one of the things that I would put in the book if that was like something that we did, you know?
Yeah. Definitely not being attached to the outcome and not taking it personal.
I love that.
Which are both very difficult things to do. Yeah, I mean, there's so many other things you can do just, you know, not just our events, but I talk to women that are new to Pittsburgh all the time. I'll get messages and say, you know, I'm new to the city or I'm nervous about coming by myself. And I always talk to women about like, okay, well, tell me about your hobbies. Have you tried these meetup groups, these Facebook groups, these book clubs, these networking events? I actually have like a list somewhere all these different things because I feel like I send them out so much.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of talk to people about, you know, what they like, what they're passionate about, and then direct them to those things. So I fully recognize that Beauty Boost events aren't for everybody. Every group can't be for everybody. You know, our stuff is, you know, wellness, living a balanced life, personal growth, entrepreneurship. Not everyone's into that. And that's okay. But there's so many other things that you can kind of do that you're already stepping in the right direction because you already have something in common with those people if you're going to a group that's targeted towards that hobby, whether you love kayaking or crafting or craft, you know, you're already something in common when you're going to one of those types of things.
Do you get a lot of introverted people that come, that still come and want to participate, but like sort of, you know, stay back a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, really try to kind of like feel people out as they're coming to check in. I like to keep things really casual, like really laid back. I want everyone to feel welcome. So when I welcome people in, I will recognize, okay, if somebody's new or a member or has never been with us, kind of see where they're at. People that are new, I tell them like, hey, here's, you know, what we have going on for X number of hours, but you're welcome to do everything. You don't have to do anything. You know, it's up to you. And just try to make them feel comfortable. If it's somebody that I've been chatting with on Instagram ahead of the event, I try to, you know, connect them to somebody else that I think that they have some things in common with. Or we have an ambassador team. So I will usually have ambassadors that are there that kind of help out behind the scenes at events. And I will grab one of them and be like, oh, this is Samantha. She's on our ambassador team. This is Jen. This is her first event with us. You know, you guys should chat about ABCD and kind of work things that way.
Oh, that's amazing. You're such a networker. I love it.
But that's, I asked that because I know that people feel uncomfortable if they are an introvert. Like, I don't want to go to something like this because I don't want to have to talk to people. Or how is that going to work? Like, how am I going to start talking to someone? Because not everybody has that gift, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me think of every time my husband and I go out with Amy and her boyfriend. Her boyfriend, Mike, could talk to literally anybody in this world
and become best friends by the end of the night.
he will talk, he'll talk to everyone. And like, sometimes it's a hit and we're like, I'm glad you talked to that person. Sometimes it's a big miss, but you know, right.
Shame in his game. He'll get right back up and start again.
I know. But I think that's like admirable that he's just like, I'm going to talk to everybody and we'll just see how it shakes out. Like, it could be good. It could be awful, I strive to be a little bit more like that, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, he makes friends wherever he goes.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot easier for some people over others. But I'd say if people are really introverted and also really into kind of like reading or strategy or prep or geeky stuff, I mean, you can prepare kind of really simple questions ahead of time that aren't the weather or who hates being asked, what do you do?
I hate it.
It's a really lame question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, or you can open a conversation by complimenting somebody. It doesn't have to be a physical compliment. You can compliment their energy or something that they're carrying, if they have a book with them or like that. A lot of times we ask people to bring like yoga mats and journals. Super easy to be like, oh my gosh, I love that journal. Is that a planner or a notebook, or tell me about it, you know? Or just have like simple questions in your mind that you can ask anybody.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, because I think we need to start steering conversations away from the typical things. One of my favorite comedians, Tom Papa, does a whole thing about, he's like, I hate going out with my friends anymore because it's just like, how's the weather, Tom?
It's not one original thought, it's just cliches. And how's work, Don? Well, still a $1 million shy of being a millionaire. I got my commute down about an hour if I take the back road. If I take the highway, and the gas prices are ha 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 ha. And my golf game, bah.
I know, right? I always joke that at the hair, when you get your hair done, like it's like years just go by, because first you're talking about the holidays, then you're going to talk about like, oh, this weather, and then you're going to be like, well, here's summer and we're so excited. Oh, summer went fast, didn't it? I mean, it is the same freaking conversation every single time. And it's like, even if I don't do that with mine, I can hear it in the chair next to me, or the chair next to me. And I call it the hairdresser, like the hairdresser conversation that like makes me want to gouge my eyeballs out. Like, I can't do that. Like, I'm going to probably say something that's super deep and uncomfortable just to stop that from happening.
Absolutely. Like, get embarrassing. Like
let's just get in it. I'll be like, okay.
So do you have any good starter questions that you could throw out there for people? I mean, I love the one of like complimenting something that they have with them that's different. Like, I had somebody compliment like the stickers on my water bottle, you know, and they're like, I love that that's how you're starting a conversation with me. Cause like, that's a language for me, you know?
Right. It's like your memes. You carry them around with you on display. Oh, nice.
I think you can go the compliment route. And it doesn't have to be anything physical. It can be an object. I don't know. I always compliment people's like energy, but that's just me.
I think that's great. Cause that like, wonderful. Then that decides for you, like, am I going to go further in this conversation or not?
Going that route, or just, you know, asking people, what's the last fun trip you were on? Or, do you have any, you know, hobbies? I will straight up ask people, like, oh, tell me something you're passionate about. And you see terror in people's eyes, or they're like, oh, you're my person.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to do that.
But things that people get excited about. I mean, I guess we're in Pittsburgh. You could bring up sports. If you are a sports person, bring up sports. But think about all the things that you get excited about. You know, your hobbies, your passions, your family, your friends, you know, travel, whatever it is that you love to do. And kind of turn that on to another person and ask them about, you know, the things that they love. Or tell me about a time, last time you did a fun event like this, if you're at an event.
Yeah, or have you ever been to one of these before, and what was it? Mm-hmm. That sort of thing is pretty easy and low. That's not super scary.
Yeah. And then I always hand out little kind of goodies at our events. So there's always, you know, a fun little handout and little products, snacks. People love snacks. I love snacks. But I hand out little hydration sticks and set up at stations and snacks and things like that. And you can, you know, pick up your snack bag and say, have you tried these before? What's your flavor? Yeah. I got, you know. What's around you?
I think these are such good tips that maybe are obvious to some, but like what people will be like, well, I never thought I could even talk about that. That's great. And it gives people so many ideas where whatever the situation is of talking about things other than your job, the weather, the food, your weight, something like that. Things that we're trying to like, we call the boring topics that we just don't, that's not really like getting us. It's not moving this relationship, even if it's just a conversation for that day. It's not moving it forward.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I would say try both. Some people find just asking a person a question to start off the conversation easier. Other people are really good at honing in on something about a stranger and can, you know, just about them and kind of start a conversation that way. So you kind of do have to try different things. Unless you're my dad, who he goes grocery store and tries to smile at people and they don't smile back at him. And he does this as a social experiment.
That breaks my heart. How could you not smile back at him?
We're from a small town and, you know, my dad, he's, you know, a little Italian guy. He looks kind of grumpy maybe, but he is the sweetest man with the best soul and the biggest heart. And, I don't know. He just said, people don't want to talk to me in the grocery store.
Poor guy. Another one that I love to do, I'll ask people is, what are your top three concerts you've ever been to? Because then start, because I love music, so then I can find out if they are also like into music, and so that's like a good way to do it. Somebody asked me today, they were like, where did you get your mala beads? And it took us down this like deep conversation. Ooh. Because like mala beads are something that's like spiritual, you know? So then it was like, it opened up this whole different thing. I was like, that's a good one. When you were talking about that, I was like, that's a good thing to like, when you're complimenting something, like if they have something that means something that you are passionate about as well.
Yeah.
Pointing that out is a good way to start a conversation too. Oh, yeah. This has got my brain going.
I know.
Anyone knows what mala beads are? First of all, they're also my person, but you know, they're carrying around mala beads. They actually know what that is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I do try to, you know, read people's body language and responses and try to gauge how comfortable they are, you know, immediately upon entering the building. And sometimes it's just a parking panic kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I have parking anxiety. I know lots of other people have very heavy parking anxiety, which is why there's always very detailed parking instructions in our event list. But sometimes it's that. So I try to see where people are at as they come in and go from there. And then I'm constantly kind of, I don't want to say working the room, that just sounds really too formal and networking and sleazy. But I'm, you know, kind of always like walking around, observing, you know, seeing who's kind of connecting, if somebody is maybe on the outskirts and if, you know, their demeanor has maybe changed. And kind of going from there and just initiating conversations as I, you know, see, you know, feel fit to come up.
That's amazing. That is awesome.
Pittsburgh is a hell of a place to live with parking anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Whenever, like, we plan an event or think of a place, she's like, well, what about the parking? What about the parking? Like, I just don't think people are going to be able to park here, so I don't think that's a good place. Like, I think we need another place. So basically, she's like, well, let's go out into, like, the suburbs that has a big parking lot.
I don't know. Just try to think.
I love it. I mean, you're thinking for the people with the parking anxiety. Yeah.
There's a lot of us out there with parking anxiety.
Well, I'm living here has caused it a lot for people. Because I never had it before until I lived here. And now I'm like, good God, this place.
Yeah, you got to give yourself 30 minutes to park.
Yeah, to park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, certain areas, I always give myself extra parking time for sure. And then I know I'm very picky about the spaces because I'm also bad at parking and XLL parking. So yeah, so that just adds on extra minutes.
And then if people are watching, then I'm out of the space. I'm like, nope, can't do it anymore. I lost my drive.
You do. I will give myself a pat on the back. I will own it. I am a master parallel parker. So
even if someone's watching you, you still nail it. You're like, I don't care that they watch, and I don't care if it takes four times.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Do you have any other tips, tricks, things that you want to let our listeners know about?
Ooh, that's so wide open.
I know. I'm sorry.
I think just kind of going back to the reiterating, not getting stuck on the outcome. Every connection isn't going to be a BFF best friend connection. And just, you know, not taking things personally if somebody isn't on the same page as you. Knowing that things do come back around. So even if you make that connection then and you're just Instagram friends or maybe just a text here and there friends, you know, there's potential for that to be in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think just kind of giving ourselves grace, because I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like a cat. I don't know if I'm it's my Scorpio sense or if I was a cat in a past life or something, but I feel like I've had 9 lives already by the age of 42 and there's probably 9 more coming, but we're all always evolving and changing and life situations are changing. So I think just kind of being aware of that, yeah. And, you know, knowing that some people are in your life for ever and ever, and some people are in your life for a short time, and just appreciating that where they're at that point, where you're at that point, and being grateful for that, you know, experience with them.
Oh, I love that.
Absolutely.
Couldn't have said it better.
So good.
That's amazing.
So good. I took some notes. Yeah. those are some amazing tips that I think we have to be reminded of as we venture out and make new connections.
Yeah. Oh, can we talk scary things? I love to talk about doing scary things.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I think this is probably another part of it. I guess coming from a fitness background, I joke that like fear is like a muscle. You kind of have to work it over and over and then it gets stronger. So, you know, you're kind of talking about, you know, being an introvert and coming to events and that being really scary, even if it's something small. But I think if you kind of start challenging yourself to do little scary things, then those little scary things, you know, build, and then it becomes easier to do the harder, scary things. Yeah. So like a little scary thing might be like, oh, I always love this certain Italian restaurant. I'm going to try this other Italian restaurant,
yeah.
You know, and just teeny little tweaks to your life. And then you start to get that confidence and that knowledge that, okay, I did this little scary thing, and you build on that and kind of keep building off of it. So I think that all kind of goes into either attending events or making connections and, you know, just practicing and doing things that are just a teeny bit scary.
That's so great. This has been such a great conversation. Because I think that we can get wrapped up in the fear and then push things away and not even try them. But we've kind of adopted the, like, we're just going to do it scared.
Yep.
And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let the cards fall as they do. Go for it.
But I just wanted to go back to what you were saying, too, about, like, not being so tied up on the outcome, but, like, also just appreciating the connections for what they are, were, have been, might be in the future, those types of things. Because I read this thing the other day and I was like, yes, I need to remember that. Like, some people come into your life to clear a path for you. So it could be like destructive, but that's like a path of destruction that's clearing the way for something else to happen. Right. So like, even if it is a total mess, like, that's okay. It was meant to happen and meant to be that way. So I just think like being able to appreciate all the connections you make regardless of how they
the
turn
longevity
out.
Of yes. them
right or like what yeah. how they may blow up, you know, it might not yeah. be this like beautiful ending or thing, you know, to it
yeah.
or like an ease out of something. It might be like a burn the bridges down type of situation, but that's okay. Like, that's how it was meant to happen, for either the lesson or the clearing of the path or the regrowth or whatever it is that it's creating in your life as an opportunity. So thank you for bringing that up.
Sure. I mean, that's such a great point. Do you kind of like to look back either each year or birthday, reflect back on, okay, you know, situation A, B, C, D, what did I learn from this? And even if it was one of those things that just blew up in your face, we've all been there. You know, I like to look back and be like, okay, what did I learn from this? Yeah. Is this the time that I've done this? Maybe. Because, you know, I like to repeat mistakes. Just to make-
I also think that we talked about just that they're not all going to be long lifetime mm-hmm. friendships. The conversations that you have at these events with people, you know, if you believe in this sort of thing, the universe brings certain people to say certain things. And it could be something that, like, you didn't even, you're like, whoa. Later on, you're like, huh, yeah. That was something that really, like, made me think of this, or that gave me confirmation of this, or they teach you something new. Or, I mean, I could tell you loads of situations like that where I did not continue with the friendship, but the conversation somehow changed the trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I dated a guy for a very short period of time, and he just looked at me one day and he said, you know, you could buy a building. And I just, something went off in my brain. I'm like, why has no one ever told me that I'm capable of, you know, purchasing commercial real estate before? And, you know, we're no longer hanging out, but that kind of changed my whole perception on what I could be capable of in the future and how I was approaching, you know, some different things I was looking at from a startup perspective, you know? Yeah. So it can be a conversation, like you said, that lights something in your brain either then or later. Mm-hmm. Or I will have either kind of like businesses or the flow of the event doesn't quite go as planned. And people will be like, oh my gosh, I spoke for too long. I'm so sorry. I went past my time. And I'll say, no. That needed to be said. Somebody in this room needed to hear that. We needed to go over because somebody needed that. And it's okay. You know, we're letting that go. It was meant to happen because someone needed to hear it.
This is such a great conversation and so needed. And
yeah,
I think
it's one we've been wanting to have for a long time. But Michelle, you helped us bring some clarity to it and mm-hmm. specifics that I think that our listeners are really going to find value in.
I'm glad that we didn't have this conversation until now. Yeah. It's literally been on our episode list since the beginning
of the very beginning
podcast. So mm-hmm. for 3 years, we have had on our episode list to talk about adult friendships and connection, but we just never got there because I think we didn't even know or have the right words.
We were
words
doing trial and error ourselves.
Yeah. Like, how do we even talk about where to begin? Mm-hmm. So we just really want to thank you for coming on, bringing that clarity, bringing your voice to it, your experience. We're very appreciative. And I know our listeners are going to be so appreciative as well.
I'm so grateful for both of you. And yeah, I guess, you know, I'm a firm believer that things happen at the right time that they mm-hmm. should and the moment they should. And I'm just happy to be having this conversation with you now. And excited to, you know, kind of share from my learnings and mistakes and things I've done, you know, all the things. Just very grateful for both of you.
Thank you so much, Michelle. We're going to put it in the show notes, but if you wanted to share maybe your Instagram or where people can find you.
Sure. So with Beauty Boost, we're on Instagram, and that's our little home. I would say we're most active on there. So we're at @thebeautyboost_PGH. We're at thebeautyboost.net. That's our website. You can find out information about memberships and events and all the weekend retreats and how to get involved and all the fun things. And we're on Facebook as well. We keep our Facebook active and events posted so that you can kind of search them and find them that way too.
Amazing. Thank you.
I just want to encourage our listeners, because this episode's coming out during the holiday season, to take some of these tips and take them to your family. Like, mm-hmm. ask different questions, have different conversations around the tables this season, and just see kind of what relationships, like, you know, take a different turn or blossom, or some of the things that might come out of it. And it helps steer clear from some of those awkward things that end up being talked about around holiday tables.
Right.
And, you know, maybe,
we're giving you
all change it up. Yes.
Instead of just telling you the awkward things, we're telling you all the other options.
Love it.
Thank you so much again, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
This episode was brought to you by Sarah Simone and Amy Baumgartner. Theme song and other music provided by Epidemic Sound. All episodes are mixed, mastered, and produced by me, Sarah Simone. To help us keep making episodes just like this one, consider supporting us on patreon.com/unqualifiedtherapistsinc. Or share us with a friend, relative, coworker, hairstylist, butcher, baker, candlestick maker. Sharing us not only helps keep the mics on, but it furthers our mission in removing the stigma. If you have a mental health journey you'd like to share, email us at unqualifiedtherapists@gmail.com or reach out to us on our website, www.unqualifiedtherapists.com. Until next time, hold on, warrior. We're gonna make it. Say it now, play it proud, shout it out, make it when we go.